There is no objective way to measure surprise. Looking back over the last century, however, it is difficult to think of any events as shocking, as completely unexpected by the overwhelming majority of people, as those of September 11th. For 6 decades, Pearl Harbor was synonymous with the notion of surprise attack for Americans. But in fact, on December 7, 1941, the public had been expecting a conflict with Japan for months, if not years, and the base was considered a possible target long before it was struck. On September 10th, ordinary Americans had no conception that one of the bloodiest days in the nation's history would be the work of terrorists, not of another nation. They did not identify Islamist radicals as a group intent on killing thousands. If pushed, they might have named skyscrapers in Lower Manhattan as a potential target of attack, but mostly because the Twin Towers had been bombed 8 years earlier. They had no inkling that a suicide attack on such a scale was a possibility, or that anyone on Earth had the wherewithal, or, more important, the desire to carry out such a crime. In fact, most Americans, if asked, would have likely said that their nation had never been more secure. More than a decade after the end of the Cold War, it had become a truism that the world had not seen such a dominant power since ancient Rome. That a surprise of this magnitude could occur to 280 million Americans living in the information age, surrounded by round-the-clock cable news, daily newspapers and radio, and afloat on the internet, the greatest sea of facts and figures in all of history, is astonishing. How could a society so drenched in news and data of every kind have been caught so off guard? Did the American public, like key parts of the government, miss something that would have alerted it to the growing danger of Al-Qaeda? The question should be directed to the institution that keeps Americans informed, the press. Was there a moment that the nation's news-gathering organizations might have recognized that something important had changed in the world and a new danger was on the rise? For many of those in the U.S. government who recognized the threat of jihadist terror before September 11th, the pivotal event was the East Africa embassy bombings. Nothing before that coordinated attack had demonstrated such a combination of skill and murderousness. The indiscriminate violence of those bombings telegraphed Al-Qaeda's desire to inflict mass casualties. The evidence appeared on television screens and in newspapers. Why did the media not recognize it or pursue the story more aggressively? Did America have a wake-up call in August 1998? And if so, why did the call go unheard? The key date is not August 7th, the day of the bombings, but the 20th, when the U.S. struck Al-Qaeda targets in Afghanistan and Sudan. The attacks in Africa were seen as path-breaking, devastating events. But until the 20th, the news was about the rescue efforts and those who had been killed and wounded. Then Washington launched the cruise missile strike and announced that bin Laden was behind the destruction of the embassies. The U.S. action against the terrorist camps in Afghanistan was widely accepted by the American press and public, even though the Tomahawk missiles missed the Al-Qaeda leadership, hitting shortly after they departed. It made obvious sense to target sites where those responsible for the bloodshed in Africa might be. Explaining the bombing of Al-Shifa, thousands of miles from Afghanistan, would inevitably be more difficult. To make their case, government officials spoke definitively about intelligence indicating that Al-Qaeda was preparing for more killing and was seeking some of the world's most destructive weapons. Meeting with reporters immediately after the attack on Khartoum, a senior intelligence official explained why Al-Shifa had been demolished. First, we know that bin Laden has made financial contributions to the Sudanese military-industrial complex, actually the Sudanese military-industrial corporation. That's a distinct entity of which we believe the Shifa pharmaceutical facility is part. We know with high confidence that Shifa produces a precursor that is unique to the production of VX. We know that bin Laden has been seeking to acquire chemical weapons for use in terrorist acts. We know that bin Laden has had an intimate relationship with the Sudanese government, which is a state sponsor of terrorism. We know that bin Laden has worked with Sudan to test poisonous gases and to finance simpler methods of manufacturing and dispensing gas, methods which would be less time-consuming and expensive than prior Sudanese efforts. Even though he left Sudan in 1996, we know that bin Laden's businesses acquired restricted, high-priced items for the Sudanese military, including arms, communications, and dual-use components for chemical and biological weapons. With regard to the question you raised to the Secretary, why did we do this today? Obviously, we felt the information was compelling. We wanted to act quickly. We had compelling evidence. Indeed, we have ongoing evidence that bin Laden's infrastructure is continuing to plan terrorist acts targeted against American facilities and American citizens around the world. Responding to a question, the official added, "We know he has had an interest in acquiring chemical weapons. We know that he himself has talked about thousands of deaths."